We begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos, daf Kuf Nun Dalet. We begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. There was a machlokes between Rami Bar Chama and Rava regarding the halacha of Mechamer. Rami Bar Chama said that one is liable for Chatas if he does B'shogeg Mechamer, which is leading an animal that's laden with packages on its back, which is the Melacha Vaitzah by a human, which is the Isser of the human leading his animal with its packages. When it's doing the Melacha Vaitzah, that's Mechamer. And therefore, he's going to be liable for Chatas when he does B'shogeg and Skila when he does B'mezim. Rava had two questions which would seem to indicate that, to the contrary, that there is no Chatas B'shogeg and there's no Skila when it's done B'mezim. And that the Gemara brings a different version of Rami Bar Chama on this daf. Rav Zid Masni, Rav Zid learned regarding this halacha of Rami Bar Chama that Mechamer, if you do B'shogeg, that you chayav Chatas, he learns Hachi, he has a different version of that statement. If someone does Mechamer, again leading his animal laden with packages in the Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, his version is that if it's done B'shogeg and not Chayav Chatas, and that is because as Rabbi's question was posed on Rambam Chama on the previous daf, that we learn from Avodah Zarah that says until you do a Maisa, an action with your own body, only then will you be liable for a Chatas when it's done B'shogeg. As we learn by Avodah Zarah, where all the Chiyuv of Karban Chatas, when you do something B'shogeg, is learned from idol worship, and that is just like there has to be done with your body here also, which would exclude Mechamer, which you're not doing an action, you're not doing Malacha with your own body, it's your animal that's doing it. Therefore, B'shogeg, you are not Chayav Chatas, but B'mezid Chayav Skila, when it's done intentionally, then you are Chayav Skila, and that is because that's learned from a Hekesh of Atu Behemtecha, when it says you shouldn't do a Malacha. Atu Behemtecha, it's learned that just like you, when you do it, B'mezid, you're going to be Chayav Skila. So to your animal, when it does, you're also going to be Chayav Skila. On that point, he argues on Rava. However, regarding this version of Rambam Muhammad, that he's not arguing regarding B'shogeg, that everybody agrees that you're not going to be Chayav Chatas when it's done B'shogeg. And that the Gemara says, Masa Rava, Rava asked, Hamachalas a Shabbos. When someone desecrates the Shabbos, bedavish shachayovin ashegagasei chatas. Regarding something that you're liable for a chiyev chatas when it's done b'shegig, chayovin asedayin the skila. You're liable for skila for being stoned if you do it intentionally. So the diak is of Rava ha'ein chayovin ashegagasei chatas. But that means if you're not chayev a chatas if it's done b'shegig, which is the case of Mechamer that Rambam Mechamer is agreeing to, because we learn out that it has to be when you do it with your own body, as we find by idol worship. The diak would be that then you would not be liable for a skila if you do it b'mezid, as we find in that Mishnah, that it's only if you do it b'shogeg that you chayav chatas, then when you do it b'mezid, you chayav skila. Here we are not chayav chatas when you do b'shogeg. Obviously not chayav skila when you do it b'mezid. That's not like Rami Bar Chama, who said that Mechamer, you're potter from a chatas when it's done b'shogeg, but you are chayav skila when it's done b'mezid. And that the Gemara answers, did we learn that if you're not chayav chatas, the inference would be then you would not be chayav skila when it's done b'mezid either? That's not a correct deek necessarily. Maybe the deek is as follows. Hachikama, this is what the Mishnah was saying. Something that you are liable for chatas when it's done b'shegik, then that inevitably has to be chayav nasdain skila. Then you're going to be liable for the skila when you do it b'mezid. However, the inference is, v'yeshtav, there is something, she'en chayav nashegah sechadis, that you're not liable for a chatas when it's done b'shegig, v'chayav nashegah sechadis, and still you're going to be liable for a skila when it's done b'mezid. All it's saying is that if it has the chiv chatas, then for sure it's going to have the skila when it's done b'mezid. But it doesn't mean that if it doesn't have the chatas when it's done b'shegig, then it doesn't have the skila. All it's saying is that if it has chatas, it has to have a skila, but there is a case when you're not chayav chatas and that you are chayav skila when it's done b'mezid. Oh my neil, what is that Mechamer? That's as we explained, that Mechamer has this unique case of when it's going to be potter from a chatas when it's done b'shegig, but it's going to be chayav for a skila when it's done b'mezid. The Gemara brings a halacha that Rava Achud Rav Mori Bar Rachel, Rava the brother of Amor Bar Rachel. V'amrilan, some have a different version of this. Avuah de Rav Mori Bar Rachel, that he was the father of Rav Mori Bar Rachel, which the Gemara parenthetically says that Lelishna Basar, according to the second version of this story, that he was the father, the Rav was the father of Rav Mori Bar Rachel. Kasha had the Rav, this is posed a difficulty regarding this, that Rav Achshrei Rav Mori Bar Rachel, that he said that he appointed, he said that it's Kasha for Rav Mori Bar Rachel, Umanye bepursi de Bavel, and they appointed him one of the officers in Bavel. As the Rabbeinu Chananel explains, that the Gemara explains over there that since his mother was a Jew, so therefore they said that's included in what's called Mikarev Achicha, that we can only appoint an officer, a king, over the Jewish people that's from the Jewish people. But the inference is that his father was not a Jewish person, only his mother was. And that's why he said that he's Kasha, and he appointed him an officer in and Bavel. So the question is, how could this second version say that Rava was the father of Amar Bar Rachel? That would make him a Jew, even from his father too. And then we wouldn't have to have said this whole story that he was only able to appoint him an officer because his mother was a Jewess, if his father is also a Jew. And that the Gemara says, Dilma Trei Mori Bar Rachel Havi. Maybe there were two Mori Bar Rachels. And as Rabbi Nachman says, that this one, his father was a Jew, which was Rav, and therefore it's not a question on that story. That story that said that they made him an officer in spite of the fact that only his mother was a Jewess, that was a different Mori Bar Rachel. But this Mori Bar Rachel, his father was Rav, according to the second version of this story, that it wasn't his brother, rather his father. This one had a Jewish father. Anyway, the Gemara continues and says, Havi Masni La Laha Shmaiti Mishmeid Rabbi Yechanan Liftor. He was saying this statement that we said before in the name of Rava, that he was saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan to say that the person is totally exempt when it comes to Mechamer on Shabbos. And that is Amr Rabbi Yechanan. He said as follows. Rabbi Yechanan says, HaMechamer Acha Behemta B'Shabbos, someone that does this Malach of Mechamer again, which is leading one's animal that's laden with packages, which would be the Malach of Itzah with a human. Now regarding the animal, it's what's called Mechamer. Someone does that, Potem Eklom, he's exempt from everything, not like Rami Bachama, Rava's version, both on this daf and the previous daf, he holds that you're exempt both from a Chiv Chatas Meshagig, and your Potter, you're exempt from a Chiv Skilim and Tumbe Mezit. And he says as follows, Meshagig Le Mechayiv Chatas, when you did it unintentionally, you're not liable for a Chatas, the Hukshu Kala Torah Kula Vodizar, because we equate, as Rava's question, and as the version of Rav Zvid and Rami Bachama on this daf, was that all Chiv Chatas, when something is done b'shagig, is learned out, it's equated, the pasuk says, Tera achas yulachem, it's compared to avodah zarah, which tells you that just like avodah zarah, you only chayav achatas because you did an action with your own body, so too all chayav achatas only when you did something b'shagig with your own body, which would exclude mechamer, and therefore you're putter from achatas when it's done b'shagig. You're also not liable for a chiv chatas for a chiv skila when it's done b'mezid. Did not as you learned in the Mishnah that says, and we brought this before. If someone desecrates the Shabbos with something that he's liable a chiv chatas when he does it b'shagig, so then he's liable for asdan yaskila. He's liable for when he does it intentionally skila. But the inference is, as we said from Rava, ha'ein chayav nashigasei chatas. But if you're not liable for when you do this action b'shagig, for this issue, you're not going to be chayav achatas, which it would include the case of Mechamer, ein chayav nasdeni skila, you're not going to be liable when you do intentionally skila. And therefore, he held that it's going to be pater not only from the chayav chatas when it's done b'shagig, but even the chayav skila when it's done b'mezik, because it has to have both. But then it continues even more. B'lav nami l'mechayav, you're not even going to be liable as if a regular transgression, which means you're not even going to get malchus if you did it. Because the reason is as follows. The havali lav shenitin l'azharas mises besin. It's included in the category of what's called a regular negative prohibition that would be, it's given over, that has the option of being warned to getting one of the punishments of Bezdin. And that is generally, that means to say, when someone's doing something wrong, you can warn them about the actual lav, which would make him included in getting malchus, getting lashes, 39 lashes. But then you could have done even more. You could have warned him, hey, this is something that you chayv misa and bezin, you get skila, hair, you're going to get one of the four types of misa and bezin, but you didn't warn him about it. And that we say that since it could have been warned about misa and bezin, and that would have been included, and he wouldn't have gotten a separate punishment of lashes, because that's kimle b'diravmane, it's included in the larger punishment. So too, even if he's not warned about the misa and bezin, only for the lashes, he doesn't even get lashes, even in such a case. And therefore, this lav, all the other malachas of Shabbos are included in this pasuk. We learn that azhara from this pasuk. And therefore, since this azhara, this pasuk, includes Mises Bezdin, which is that you wouldn't get a punishment for Misa unless you were warned for it. So therefore, since the Iker of this Azhara includes elements of Misa also, and not for Malkus, therefore this person is not going to get Malkus even in this type of case of Mechamer. And that is because since this Pasuk includes, when the person gets Misa of Shabbos, of this Lysasika Malacha, which is where we learn out Atabahemtacha from, that learns out Mechamer, it can't even be alive to get Malkus, because again, this Pasuk includes its Azhar that's given to others which are going to get a Chiv Mises Bezin, and therefore that's this Azhar is including things which would not allow you to get lashes for it, because it's Nitin L'Azhar and Mises Bezin. So in spite of the fact that Mechamer doesn't have Mises Bezin, but its Azhar, its warning is a Pasuk that includes Mises Bezin, and therefore when you give that Azhar, you can't get the lower one of Malkus, so therefore you won't even get punished as a lav. And as the Gemara says, v'cholav shenit l'azor z'mi z'bezin, ain't like any negative prohibition, that warning was a warning that could lead to a Mises Bezin, even if you don't warrant for the Mises Besdin, you only warrant for, let's say, the Malchus, you don't even get the lashes, and therefore here you're not going to be liable for the Mises Besdin of Skili, because as we said before, they will learn out that this is something that doesn't have a Shoygi Chatzis, so therefore you don't have Mises Besdin. You don't get the Shoygi, because when we compare to Avodah Zarah, you're not doing an action by Mechamer, and it has to be an action, and therefore you don't even get a lav, because this Azhara that it's learned out from is neat Lazar's Mises Besdin, and therefore you can't get lashes on such Azhara. And the Gemara continues on Ahmed Beis, even according to the one that says generally that a lav hanitin lazar's mis bezin, you do get malchus. If you warn them about just a negative prohibition, not for the punishment of death that he can get, then he is going to get the punishment of lashes. But here, you don't even have the lav itself. Because even if regarding that you could warn him regarding the malacha that he's doing it, that together with his animal, which is called mechamer, but the Gemara says, "Lichtav Rachmano loisasika malacha ubehemtecha." If this is what it's telling you, that there is a law here that you get malchus for, it should have written that you shouldn't do any malacha and your animal. Ata lamali, what does it say the word you? Ata ubehemtecha. What's it coming to teach? It's mashma that you yourself and your animal itself. Because or else, why do you need the word ata if it's coming to teach us about machamer? Who knew the Mechayev? Rather, it's coming to teach us that the person himself, when he does wrong, then he's liable for a carbon chatas, and he's liable for the lashes if he does it. Behemta, regarding his animal, when the malach is done totally through his animal, then lay Mechayev, then he's not liable as if it's a complete lav to get malchus in it. And that is, obviously, they agree, and it's the pasuk is saying, after behemtech is including the lav of Mechamer. But what the Gemara is saying now, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that not only don't you get skila for mesid, you don't get a karmach chatzis for b'shogeg, and that you don't get malchus even when you just won for a lav, is that according to the one that says nit la'asar mesid bezdin, that since it could be included, that you don't never get malchus, that's obvious. According to the one that says you generally could, the Gemara is saying that it's not even a lav, in other words, a lav to get the punishment of malchus for. Because if it was telling you that you can get punished, it shouldn't have said ata, it should have said, what's atuvemtecha, which comes to teach you, you is separate, your animal is separate, you don't get punished for something your animal is doing. So although it is a lav, and that's obvious from the pasuk, but it's not a lav to the extent that you're going to get malchus for it, and therefore Rabbi Yechanan says, yepata miklum, you don't get any punishments for macham. Now the Gemara continues, quoting from our Mishnah, that said, higila chotza chitzayna. So what happens is that you didn't have a non-Jew, and it's about to get Shabbos, you put on your donkey, and then you come to the closest courtyard that's from the outside of the city, and then when you get there, then regarding the type of kalim that cannot be taken with your hand to take it off, because they're muktzah, then you unwrap you open up the strap, and then everything falls down itself into the courtyard, because you can't touch it because it's muktzah. So Amrav Huna, if one's animal was laden with glass vessels, which you can't take with your hand, and to go ahead and put it down on the ground. So what do you do? Maybe karmic sauces in the, you take pillows and blankets and you put it underneath it. You don't want it to break, right? But you can't take it because it's muktzah. So you open up you first put pillows and blankets underneath it, then you open up the strap, and then the sacks fall by itself on top of the pillows and the blankets. And that the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Vatnant? Now we learn in our Mishnah, you're allowed to go ahead and take it with your hand the vessels that can be moved on Shabbos that are not muktzah. And glass is not muktzah. So therefore, why, if it's a regular vessel, it's a cup, a plate, whatever it is, why do I need to do this case of untying the ropes and letting it fall by itself? That our Mishnah said was only regarding items that are not nitalin. They're not taken because they're muktzah here, regular glass vessels. Why do I have to go through this whole project of putting pillows and blankets underneath it and letting it fall by itself? You could do it with your own hands. And then the Gemara says that Rav Huna was referring to glass vessels that are muktzah. Ki kam Rav Huna bekarnei du umnei. He's talking about pipes of the blood letter, which is not fit for Shabbos because they're so disgusting, they're filthy, and they're utensils of a blood letter, and therefore it's muktzah machmas mias. It is muktzah, and therefore that's why you can't go ahead and take it with your hand, and that's why you have to do this whole project of untying it, letting it fall, but putting the pillows and blankets, obviously, so that it shouldn't shatter and break. But in that, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, but then you're nullifying the vessel, that is, the pillows and the blankets, when you put it under something that cannot be moved on Shabbos, which are the muktzah glass items, in this case, the pipes of the blood letter, you're nullifying it meheichaneh from its preparedness, because now you can't move it anymore. And therefore, Rashi says that qualifies as if it's similar to seiser, as if you're demolishing the utility of this pillow and this blanket, because now you can't move it anymore in Shabbos. It's like destroying its utility, and therefore, how can you do that? You're not allowed to be mevatel kli meheichaneh from its preparedness. Now, by letting these muktzah items fall on it, you're being mevatel it, and that can't be done on Shabbos. And that the Gemara says, we're talking about b'shlifi zutri, with small packages. And that is that you could push it and lean it over from one pillow to another one, and until it reaches to a place where it safely can fall onto the earth. And therefore, it's not totally being mevatlet meichani, because it's not going to stay there, because you can easily get it off. And that's why you're allowed to do this type of a project, that it's not going to mevatlet from meichani. And that the Gemara says, meisvei, we learned, toise behemte tu'une tevel v'ashashyas. We learned that if one's animal was laden with untithed produce, that you didn't take up trumas and maizes from it, or if it's laden with bars, that's bars of glass. The halacha is matres achavom, you untie the ropes, v'hasak and neiflin, and the sacks fall, v'afa pishim mishtabrin, and that's in spite of the fact that they're going to break because they're glass. So you see from the b'rais explicitly that you're not allowed to put pillows and blankets underneath it, and obviously it would sound like because you've been vat l'kli mechone, or whatever the case is, but how can we say that you could put pillows and blankets underneath it when we say here, no, you have to let it break? Nothing more says no, it's not true. Hassan Bechulsa, they were talking about large chunks of glass, which are not vessels, and therefore they're muktzah. And they would make windows out of these bars of glass. And since there's no loss by when they break, because anyways you're going to head and go and take them apart and into small pieces to make the windows, so therefore they did not permit to put pillows and blankets underneath it to be mekabelet, because there is no purpose in the safety of the glass like we have in the other case where it's going to shatter it, because here anyways there's no concern about it shattering it, because we break it anyway. As the Gemara says, Deganami, we could even infer from the Braisa that it's talking about such a case, the Tani Dumi the Tevel, because there are two cases, the Tevel and the Ashashas. And that is mat tevel, delay chazle, just like tevel is talking about that it's not fit for the person at all, that it's totally muktzah, and even kohanim can't use it because it didn't have the truma taken off and no one can eat it. Avachin nami, here also we're talking about regarding the glass, loy chazle, it's not fit to be used. That's the case of kulsa. It has no utility whatsoever, and therefore, because it's that type of case, that it's a case of these bars, which in that type of case, there's no concern of loss, that's why we don't let you put the pillows and blankets underneath it, but generally we allow you to do it because of the loss, and we're not concerned about mevat l'kli mechaneh, because again, then you could go ahead and move it off. And then the Gemara asks, umay afa pisha mishtabin, if that's the case, then why do we say that even though it's going to break, if we're talking about these large chunks, these large bars of glass, but there is no loss, and therefore, what's the chiddush in saying, even though it's going to break, but there's no loss, and therefore, what's the havamin to say that it would be mutter to say that even though it's going to be usr, but there's no element of breaking because that's not a concern of ours. And that the Gemara says no. Ma'aditema, I would have thought to say lehefsid muet nami chashashu, that Chazal concerned even for a small loss, and that if you're allowed to bring pillows and blankets underneath even the bars of glass. Because even by these bars of glass, it's not possible there's not going to be at least a slight loss. Because the little pieces of the shards of glass, they break and they splatter all across, that now those little pieces have no utility, have no use whatsoever. Maybe that's why we would say that even in such a case, you'd be able to put the pillows and blankets underneath it. Kamash Malon, that's why you have to say that no, even though they break, since it's only a small loss, you're not allowed to put pillows and blankets under it. It's only, as we said, by a hefsim meruba, by a large loss, then we allowed a person to go ahead and put the pillows and blankets under the glass vessels. The Gemara brings a similar braisa. Tanya, we learn the braisa of Shimon Yoichi Omer. He said, "Behemtei tu'una shlif shel tavur." If one's animal was laden with a large package of produce that was of tevel that was untied, manich roishu techta, he could put his head underneath it, umesalka l'tarecha, and move it to the other side. But when noifam elav, and it falls by itself, and the braisa says, "Chamayusha el rebshavim liel." He said, "Tu'una devash." That the donkey of Emlil was laden with honey, the loyrots lafarka at Matzah Shabbos, he did not want to unload it until Matzah Shabbos. The Matzah Shabbos mesa on Matzah Shabbos, it died. He didn't want to go ahead and do this. So the Gemara asks, why not? Vanan tanan noitel kelim tam. You're allowed to take off vessels that are not mukta from the animal on Shabbos, and honey is taken on Shabbos. So why didn't he want to unload the donkey on Shabbos? What's the pshat? And then the Gemara says kisha hidvish. We're talking about that his honey had soured, and therefore it was mukta. And that the Gemara asked, if that's the case, and that's why he didn't want to move it, Hidvish Lamai Chazi, what is honey that's soured? What worth does it have? Why was he even bringing it in the first place if it has no utility? It's soured. Now the Gemara says, Liksisa de Gamli. It has purpose for the wounds of the camels that they put this honey and it'll help to heal the wound. So therefore, even though it's soured, it still has some purpose. That's why he's bringing it. But since it's soured, he wasn't going ahead and taking it off because it's not Nitalim. It still is Mukta because it doesn't have a purpose for what he needed on Shabbos. But that the Gemara asks. So good, fine. He couldn't take it with his hand. But V'yatr chavolim yiplusakin. Let him untie the ropes and let the sack fall by itself. As we learned in our Mishnah, that something that's not taken, you could untie the rope and let it fall by itself. Why did he leave it on the donkey? Then now the donkey died much of Shabbos because it was carrying the weight the whole Shabbos. And that the Gemara says, mitztaru zike. That the containers that were holding the honey would break open if it fell down when it would land, and therefore he didn't untie it. But then the Gemara asks, and this is why we brought it in, the Yavi Karmic Sasis Rinich Tachtim, let him bring pillows and blankets and put it underneath it, and then it won't break, it won't shatter when it falls to the ground, as we find by the glass Kalim. And that the Gemara says, Mitanfi, that they would make it filthy when it would spill on it spill on the blankets and pillows, and it would ruin it, Vikimavata Kli Mechane, and it would nullify these vessels, the pillows and blankets, from its purpose, from its utility, because it would get totally ruined, and we won't be able to use it anymore on Shabbos. And that's a problem to do on Shabbos. And that the Gemara asks, however, so fine, it's different than the glass case, because here you are being mevat lemechan, and there's nothing to do about it, because it totally ruined it, got all sticky from the honey. But ve'ikatzar balechayim, there's still an element of pain of the living creature of the donkey, and let the chiv deiris, the biblical commandment of tzar balechayim, come and push away the isra rabbanon of nullifying a kli, a vessel, from its preparedness. And then the Gemara answers, Ksava, that Rabbi Gamliel held, Tzar Belechayim Drabban. His opinion is that the pain that we're not allowed to inflict on an animal is only rabbinic, and this is a machloikis in Perak El Metzias, about Metzias Daf Lamed Beis. And since Drabbanan, we say, Cheval Tas, you don't take off, you're not mevatel one Isra Drabbanan for the other Isra Drabbanan of Tzar Belechayim. Now the Gemara continues on the topic of our Mishnah. It says, Abaya Ashkechei Lil Rabba. Abaya found Rabba to come Shafshifle Lebre Agaba Dechamer. That he was sliding his son on the back of a donkey, that he was playing with him on Shabbos like a slide. He was using the donkey as a way of taking his child down the side, down the back of the donkey. So Amalei Abaye told Rabbi, "Kamishtamish Mabe Baal Chaim, you're utilizing an animal." And we learned in Mishnah Masechtas Beya and Daf Lamed Vav, you're not allowed to ride on an animal, and you're not allowed to use it for any tash, any purpose. That's because we're concerned that a person might come when he's riding the horse or whatever it is and pull off a branch from the tree to make it go quick, and that's going to be a Issa Deiraisa on Shabbos. But either way, Chazal and Masechta, you're not allowed to ride on a donkey, and you can't use any animal for any purpose. So therefore, how are you letting your son go on the donkey on Shabbos and sliding on him? So Amalei, so he answered him, Tzdadinhein, this is the side of the donkey. That is, I wasn't having my son ride on top of it. Rather, I was sliding him on the side on it, and that's not the way it's normally used. But Tzdadin, like Gazer B'Rabbanan, and the sides, the Rabbanan weren't Gazer. Again, the whole purpose was, when you're riding, then you might come to break it off, the branch from the tree. That's only when you're riding on top of it. Here we're using just the size of the animal. That Chazal were not Gazer, and you're allowed to use the side, and I was just sliding my son on the side of the donkey. Where do you know this from, that they were only geyser when you're using it, let's say, on the back, riding it, but not when you're using the sides? The Nun has learned in the Mishnah, our Mishnah. We said, Matr Chavolim Vasakar Neif, learned in our Mishnah, that if, let's say, it was about to be Shabbos, and you didn't have time to do it with your wallet, and there's no non-Jew, so you put on your donkey. When you finally get to the courtyard closest to where you are on the outskirts of the city, you go ahead and you, regarding things that you can't move because they're mukta, but you want to take it off the donkey, you open up the ropes, the straps, and then the sacks fall, Vasakar Neif, and they fall by themselves. Now, my love isn't that case talking about, but Chever Guvalki, we're talking about that these ropes are tied onto the saddlebags. And that is that they're both attached in this together with a strap, and you ride that, you tie that on top of the back of the donkey, one on one side, one on the other side, and you have to take it off together, and you have to get close to the donkey. So now you obviously have to be sliding, you have to be using the side of the donkey to lean on it to get to this to the side of the donkey to go ahead and untie it. And therefore we see that chever guvalki, which is obviously the case of what our Mishnah is talking about, the havalut studen, that's using the side of the donkey, you have to lean on it to go get it and untie it, but studen lagaz rabban. Obviously the rabban would not gaze, because we say in our Mishnah, you're allowed to untie the straps that are holding whatever it is that you want to untie, and that's talking about that they're attached on the back of the donkey, until you have to get there by leaning on the side of the donkey. So obviously your side is not asik, because our Mishnah says you're allowed to do that. And that the Gemara says, loy. Bechever agluvaki. That we're talking about a different type of a strap. We're talking about two that are not attached together. Rather, there's a ring, a metal ring that's by the top of the strap, and there's a small little clasp. And there you don't have to lean over on the donkey to go ahead to untie it, because there very easily you just pull it a little bit and it comes out of the ring that's holding it together. So therefore, that's just pulling. You don't have to lean on the side of the animal to get to it. Therefore, it's no raya from there, because you could say that he wasn't leaning on the donkey when the case of a Mishnah, when you're allowed to open up the straps to go ahead and let the kelim that are mukta to come down. As the Gemara says, Dolei Havet Stod, and that's not using the side of the donkey. Inami, another teretz to show that it's not a riot to say to permit the tzadin of the animal from our Mishnah, because the Tumah Balachta, we talk about a case of a clip. That is, there are these chains of the rope that each one goes into the other one. And that creates like this type of a chain, the one ring going to the other one, and he takes a piece of wood that's bent, a small little piece of wood, which is like a clasp, and he puts it on the inside. And then each one doesn't go out from the other one, because one is dependent on the other one. He has this clasp. Now, when he comes to take it off, he just pulls that piece of wood, and then they all automatically unravel. That's the case we're talking about. Again, the same concept that it means to say that you didn't have to lean onto the donkey to get to the back to open up where they're attached. Again, these two cases are easily undone without leaning on the side of the animal. There was no raya from a Mishnah that stood in his mutter. Again, so where do you have this concept? Abaye is asking that you let your son slide on the side of the donkey. How do you know that it's stood in a mutter? You have no raya from a Mishnah. So the Abaye continues asking on Rabbah, Esvei, he asked him from a Mishnah in Sukkah. We learned, Shtayim b'dei Adam b'achas b'ilan. If two are made by man, and one is made by a tree. And this is a Mishnah in Sukkah that's regarding the kashrus, the suitability of the three walls of the Sukkah. And that is, if you made two as their halacha are with man, and the third one is made out of a tree. Then the halacha says that they share that the walls are kasher, and it doesn't bother us if they're even connected, and that if they're all attached to the tree. And this that we, and either way it's going to be kasher, again, even though all three are attached to the tree. So then why did we say that two were man-made that totally kosher, and that only the third one was connected to the tree? That's telling us a chiddush that even so, even if the sukkah is going to be kosher over here, and that is even two are totally man-made, but the third wall, which is intrinsic, that you need to have three walls, is part of the tree, then ve'ein oilin la b'yamtum. In spite of the fact that it's a kosher sukkah, again, it would be kosher sukkah even if all three are from the tree. But since one of them is connected to the tree, then you now go into that sukkah on yamtum. And that is, you can't use the sukkah to eat or sleep in that sukkah on Yom Tov, because the schach, which is tied onto the walls, and the person would lean on the schach, because in those days they would use their schach, they would put their vessels on there, they would put and store things over there, and therefore he would be considered using and pushing his body onto the tree, because he'd be leaning on the schach, which is leaning on the walls of the sukkah, which is leaning on the tree. And therefore, although again it's a kosher sukkah, but since you're going to be using an ilan, which is aser, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and therefore we said that you now go ahead and go into this sukkah on Yom Tov. So the raya that Abaye has to ask on Rabbah, he says, "My love, the chok be'ilan." Obviously, we're talking about a case when it's engraved into the tree. That is the walls that we have over here. That it's related to the tree. It's talking about that you'd stuck these poles of the walls into the holes of the tree, and that's what holding up the wall. And then you made schach on top of those walls, and that's in spite of that, you're not using the actual tree, you're only using the side of the tree. As Abaye said, the havlut stud, and that's considered the sides of the trees. But stud nasrin, and still we see that's going to be us to go and use such a sukkah on Yom Tov, because you're going to be leaning on the schach, which is leaning on the wall, which is leaning on the tree, but in essence, the wall is the tree because the poles are inside the tree. So if we see it's stud na usr, not like you rabbi want to say. And that the Gemara says no. Look, the chafi le'ilim, we're talking about that they bent the tree. That is the upper branches of the tree, they bent to the other tree that was there, and the other tree to that tree. And they tied one with the other, and from the trees themselves, they made walls out of them. And they put schach on the trees itself, which were the walls. Which then you're actually using the actual tree. That's why the Mishnah was saying it's asa. But if it was just the stud, and if it was just the sides of it, you're not actually using it itself, then it would be mutter. And that the Gemara asked, if that's the case, let's see the safe of that Mishnah in Sukkah. We said, if let's say three of them were man-made, and one of them was made out of the tree, then it's kasher. And then you could even go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov. Now the problem is, according to Rabbah, if you told me that you actually bent over the tree and made it into an actual wall, why are you allowed to go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov? That's the problem. The schach is leaning on that wall, and you're using that wall, even if it's not integral for the hechsher of the sukkah, because you have three kosher walls, but ultimately you're going to be leaning on that when you're leaning on the schach. So how can you use such a sukkah on Yom Tov if the actual tree is the wall? And that the Gemara says, ve'ilam mayu. So according to you, Abai, it's also difficult. Because studying us through, and you want to say that using the sides are forbidden. So safe, am I Olam Yom Tov? How are you allowed to go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov? Which in this case, either way, it's going to be the sides, it's not the actual tree that's the wall. That's not the case you're talking about. You said that it's the walls that are engraved into the tree, that's just holding it there. But and now the schach is on top of those walls. But again, that's still studden. So even if three of the walls are kosher, but the fourth wall is connected to the tree, you're going to be using the studden of the tree, and according to you, that's awesome. Ella, rather, to answer it, both for me and for you, hasam bigvaza persichna. There what we're talking about a type of tree that has a lot of branches that go out to the sides, and they go out, and they branch out. The ilan gufei doifin ba'amahu d'shavi. There, the tree itself, it was just a regular wall. And that is, the schach was not leaning on such a tree. It was no problem of tzadon or anything, both for me and for you, because the reason why when there's three walls of man-made and the fourth wall of tree that you can go into such a sukkah, it's going to be a problem. There's no problem, because whether it's the tree or whether it's the case that you wanted to say, here we're talking about a tree that the branches extend out, and therefore it has nothing to do with the schach leaning on it. The schach is only leaning on the three other walls. And the fourth wall is not even leaning on the tree at all, and that's why there's no problem going to such a sukkah on Yom Tov. And then the Gemara says, Dekanami, it seems to be meduik like this, to learn it like that in the Mishnah and Sukkah. Diktoni, as the Mishnah there says, Zeaklal, that this is the general to know, when is it a problem about going into such a Sukkah on Yom Tov, but not that you're going to be using a tree which is forbidden to use on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It says like this, Kol ilu sheyinot le'ilon. Now, in any case, that if the tree would be taken away, the chayla lamed, and the Sukkah would still be able to stand, then oilam b'yom tov, then you could go into it on Yom Tov. Then we learn that again, it was not talking about a case that the schach was actually leaning on the sukkah. Because it's saying that the case of when it's mutter, when there's three walls, is if you would take it away, it would still be there. And that's the idea, because we're talking about a type of a wall, that it's just a wall, but not a wall that's holding up the schach. And that's why it's not a problem, both for me and for you. And therefore, it's no difficulty from that case of the three and the four. Again, whether either one of us says that it's talking about the tree is the wall, or that the tree is not the wall, but the wall is going into the tree, we both have to agree that that case of the Sefer is talking about a different case, when the tree itself is the wall, and that it's not supporting the schach, and that's why it's going to be kosher, because either way, it would be a problem if it was supporting the schach, because it would be using the tzadon, or according to my case, it would be the actual tree. And if we're here, it's different, because here it's not supporting the schach whatsoever. As we said, that's the general rule. If you would take it away, the sukkah wouldn't collapse. That's when it's kosher. And that the Gemara says, let's say this idea that they're arguing about is machlokes tanoim, as we learned as follows. In oil nabi yom tov, you're not allowed to go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov. Reb Shimon Lozo oimer, mishum emeya, oil nabi yom tov, you're allowed to go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov. Now, my lav b'hoka mevaki, isn't it obvious that they're arguing about this type of a case, whereas when you carved into the wall into the tree, and you put the beams over there on the side, and you put the schach on top of that, where that you would be using the sides of the tree when you're using the schach, because obviously that's what they were arguing about, because if they're not arguing about this case of tzadon, now what would we say they're arguing about? Because everybody agrees you're not allowed to use the actual tree itself on Yom Tov, so it can't be that the tree is the wall that we're talking about over here. So what are they arguing about? Obviously they're arguing about the tzadon of the ilan, and that the machlekes was, can you go into it or not? They're arguing about this machlekes about Abai and Rabbah. And then the Gemara says, yeah, this is exactly what they're arguing about. The master of the Tanakhama hold Tzad Nasurin. He held that it's going to be Asa like Abaya. Umar Savar Mutarin. However, Remeya held that it's going to be Mutar like Rabbah. And this is the exact Machlekes. So the Machlekes is the Machlekes Tanoim. So I'm Abaya Loi. Abaya says, no. The Kuli Amit Tzad Nasurin. Everyone agrees to me that the sides are going to be Asa. And that is, even if they're arguing about this case, you cannot say that Remeya held that Tzad Namutarin, like you want to say that he holds like Remeya. Because these are not even tzadon. They are what's called stidate tzadon. They're the sides of the sides. Because here the kanim, the poles that are placed in the holes of the tree, they are the sides of the tree. Now the schach that's placed on top of them are the tzidate tzadon. It's the side of the side. And therefore, even if you want to say they're arguing about it, you couldn't even say that that's what they're arguing about. Because our case is really a case of the sides of the sides of a tree. And the Rabbi says, here they're arguing about the sides of the sides. Marsa of the Tanakama held, Tzidit Stad Nasurin, the sides of the sides, that is Asur. Umasa Remeir said, on that he was Mekel, Tzidit Stad Mutarin, he said the sides are Mutar. However, the sides itself, everyone agrees to my opinion that it's Asur. And Rava argues, says no. Manda Asa Bitstad, whoever says it's forbidden on the sides, which is obviously like you are by not like me, Asur Nami Bitzidit Stad, and he says it's forbidden even on the sides of the sides. Manda Shari Bitzidit Stad, whoever says it's permitted on the sides of the sides, which is the way my opinion is, Shari Nami Bitstad, and he's also on the sides, which again, which is what I said, Lishitasa, so therefore he explains that this Machlaikis Tanoim is going to be the same. It is my Machlaikis. This is what I argue in Abaya. Tanoim argue about it. And don't tell me that their case is different than ours, and everyone agrees to you that Stadden is going to be Usr. And the only argument about Tzidit Stadden is not true. Tzidit Stadden is the same as the sides. The tree is one thing. Everyone agrees that's Usr. The sides, now that's where we argue. Side of the side or the side of the side, it doesn't make a difference. Either way, it's going to be the same as the side. And therefore, Rava says it is a Machlaikis Tanoim, and Abaya says, no, it's not a Machlaikis Tanoim. Everyone agrees to me that the sides are Usr. And the case even that we're arguing about all along is not even the sides, it's the size of the sides, and that is where we have the Machlaikis, if that's going to be Usr, or maybe there would be different, as Remeir says, and there it's going to be Mutar.